B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in another day, another Zolak and Bertrand for you. I can't say I deserve because it looks like he's not back in his seat yet, from what I can tell. He's still roaming around the room. And Hardy's not on the mic yet either. So,
we're here. I've been here.
I waved to Zoe, and then Zoe got up and started trying to find the camera to wave.
I got so excited you waved. As I was whipping waving at you, but I figured out you can't see me through that.
I can't see you through that, but I could see you waving at me nonetheless.
I miss your smell.
Musk.
Your musk.
All right. What's going on? How we doing? Everybody good?
Dude, good. Hardy's got a nice pullover on. I like those thick string pullovers.
Yeah, I like this one too.
Like that? No. It's the string. Like that's like, hey, it's an expensive pullover.
I don't know that it looks pricey. I don't like the thin drawstrings. I tell you what, you lose a drawstring in your hoodie,
done.
Seriously, I don't even want to wear it.
That's nice.
But these are tougher to lose because, you know, they're thicker.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beetle's all zipped up and ready.
I was
going to
say, you zipped that sucker
he's
up.
He's taking that zip, that quarter zip.
He's pushing
fleece.
That zipper.
Yeah, very seriously.
It's a little cold in here.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah, it's a little cold.
I think you get a space heater in a massive office that you have now.
I need new thermostats, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Old.
Broken. 74 is what 74 says, huh?
They all go back to 62 every day.
Oh, the Nest?
No, I'm going to get the Nest, though. I used to have the Nests, and those were great.
Well, are they the rectangular ones?
They're like the old school, you know, to put two AA batteries in them.
Yeah. Those are programmable too. So they're probably programmed to go back to. Mine were like that too.
I've reset them and wiped out all the settings and tried to set it back to a normal temperature. And I've gone through the activity like 14 times.
My Nest does.
I already replaced one with like another like $20 Honeywell two AA batteries, and the thing works great.
Huh.
So I'm like, I just got to get more of those for the time being until, you know, the Nest get one.
You know what's great ones? Those old chrome round ones where you could just turn it right to the temperature you want, and it was never an issue.
Yeah, and it never.
Ever.
But that's
reliable.
We got to be smarter than everybody. The ones that got the little floating mercury in there.
So I get it at night now, but, you know, for the most part, like during the day, all those things were set to where, you know, everyone would leave the house and go to work and go to school, and you don't need as much heat on it. But now it's like, no, you pretty much need the same temperature from about 6 a.m. until 11 p.m. There's really
no one leaves the house anymore.
Yeah, so right. So there's no need for like a whole lot of variation. Now, at night, I would like to be able to take the heat down, but the dog still sleeps downstairs, and I don't want to freeze her out. So
dog's got fur.
It's got a fur coat on it all
the time. Dog can live outside.
I know, but, you know.
My nests have been acting wacky.
I want to be good to her.
You're telling me that growing up there in those backwoods of Michigan, you didn't know people that just left the dogs outside all the time?
I know people in Massachusetts who do it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
like, that was the accepted practice. Dog stays outside.
That's right.
It's a dog. That's why people have dog houses.
Yeah.
Weird.
Nest. Anyway. You like your Nest?
I did it first, and now the thing's like an economy mode, and I'll wake up middle of the night, and all of a sudden it's down to like...
Oh, you could shut that off.
I know.
You
got to like program, but it trains itself. Like it follows, you know, the activity when you move through the room. Like it'll light up when you walk in a room.
Oh.
So I think it trains itself. Like if you don't go in, then it like it tells you what the setting should be. I tell
it tells you where you should be.
Listen, buddy, you work for me. Yeah. I'll go out there and I'll give him honey well 20 buckers like he got.
Right.
I'll show your ass. Yeah. You $150 thing, you.
All right, then. I got a Patriots item I think we should start with today.
Oh. What do you got?
If the Patriots are to get to 9-7, though.
Yeah.
They're a 9-7 team at the end of the year. And they do not make the playoffs at 9-7. Because, again, they're in the hunt. Mm-hmm. They're in the mix. But there are plenty of other teams that are in their same position. So they end up at 9-7. They do not make the playoffs. They're mm-hmm. just on the outside looking in. But that would mean that for them to get to that 9-7, they've done a pretty damn good job down the stretch.
Yeah.
Which is something to be proud of. That means they win, you know, four of their last five games.
Right.
Would you be happy with that?
Oh God, absolutely. I would equate that to the Matt Castle year, the 11-5 year, when you didn't make it. But you look, okay, we won 11 games that year with our backup quarterback. We coached our ass off. I'm not saying it's the same type of year. I'm not comparing Castle to Cam or any of that. But I think that year we were, okay, we lost Brady. Didn't make the playoffs, but damn it, we're 11-5. It was a decent year. I would say, based on the fact this team was 2-5, they end up 9-7, hell yeah. I'll take it. Let the chips fall where they may, whether they get in or not. But, yeah, I'd take 9-7 right now.
I think I'd be thrilled with it. I think it would be something to be very happy about. And it would mean that they were in it all the way until the end. And it would mean that in the year after Tom Brady left the team, they went to a guy who's clearly banged up, washed up, whatever it might be. And they got by with him, and they held it together, and they didn't fall apart, and they stayed competitive through week 17.
That means you got room for one loss.
That means you got something going on here.
I agree. I think 9-7 would be an accomplishment, especially after being 2-4. Okay?
2-5.
2-5. Thanks. Thank you, Zoe. But don't tell me it's like the Matt Castle year where you had an injury and all of a sudden you're going to your backup. If you believe Tom Brady and you believe.
I didn't mean it that way. I'm just saying from an ending standpoint.
Okay.
I'm not comparing it to the year.
No, because if you.
So I'm comparing it to the way I felt. That's what I'm doing.
Well, let me do something here, Hardy. Well, let's do this. What would be more impressive, Matt Castle for you, Zoe, the Matt Castle year or this year?
Okay, I like that. I would say the Matt Castle year.
I would totally disagree with you on that. This would be far more impressive.
Why?
And the reason being is the roster blows.
That's true. Why. The
team that Matt
comparable.
Castle took over
he threw to Randy Moss.
was undefeated outside of the Super Bowl the year before. Yeah. It was that team that then was minus Brady.
Matt threw to Randy Moss and Walker and those guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But at the quarterback position, you are left with a backup. If you believe Tom Brady and the narrative that, you know, both the Patriots and Brady knew at before his last season here, he was gone. They had no plan in place other than to get a guy who is really not, as we see now and every other team felt, is not really a starting quarterback in the league. And you didn't have a quarterback, and you have plenty of time to plan for having a quarterback. Right now, the quarterback is probably issue number one on a team that has more issues. I'll grant you that the roster with Castle, of course, is much, much, much better.
And Castle was better. Castle was better than Cam Newton. You would take Matt Castle of 2008
exactly
over Cam Newton right now. No questions asked.
Exactly.
Like, yeah,
so
I'd do that.
Overall, in terms of how pleased I am with the organization and the franchise, I can't be all that pleased with the knowledge that they knew this was coming, and yet they did next to nothing.
That's about like roster building and build the GM.
That's different, right?
Right. Yeah. That's a little different.
You're just talking about the guys, just the fellas, the boys.
Well, no, I'm talking about build the coach. Build the coach and his roster. That yes, he is also responsible for. But if you separate out the two things,
it's getting harder and harder for me to separate those two things because build the coach feels like he could get by with what Bill the GM gave himself. So I think it could be a matter of hubris, right? It's like his ego may have maybe getting in the way. Bill the coach and that ego is getting in the way of Bill the GM. So I can't.
I don't totally follow that. Help me out there. In what
Bill
way?
Bill the coach feels like, well, I'm a good enough coach to where whether we end up getting Stidham who, you know, obviously we know what they think of him.
Oh, in terms of the hubris of we can get by with Cam Newton because I'm Bill the coach.
Because I'm Bill the coach.
I gotcha.
That
okay.
directly influences what he does as Bill the GM. So, no, I do not lump the coach, GM, all that. I think of those two, number one, as together. And number two, if you just want to talk about the team and the personnel, what they've done, if this team gets to 9-7, absolutely love it. Great job. You against all odds, you were able to do that.
But isn't Bill going to get a ton of credit for that as a coach, not as a GM?
I don't know.
He should. It would be one of his better coaching jobs here in New England. I think that a lot of people point to 2008, and I think this would be more impressive.
I think it's going to be more impressive.
9-7 with the roster they've got.
Especially
this roster is thin.
You play some good defense here at the end, and you make chicken salad with chicken bleep with this offense, and you win all of your games except one here at the end. That'd be a pretty damn good coaching job.
Okay, so at what point does it stop being impressive? If we're all going to be impressed
with 9-7.
That's
coaching. I'm not saying GM.
What about
the offensive personnel is terrible.
But I mean, and obviously anything greater than that would be like, holy crap. But that ship has sailed. So let's take it down a few wins. 8-8, do you feel the same way?
Probably not.
Well, you know what? Let's try and figure out where that line is for us.
Line good. Of demarcation.
We'll explore that. It's a good question. Ooh. Where's the line, Hardy? Where is the line of happiness for the Patriots between now and the end of the season? And again, our original question.
Line of happiness.
Where would you be happy? How happy would you be with 9-7? I know there's a crowd that would probably be pissed that they go 9-7 because they would rather they lose along the way and get better draft position. So we'll talk about all this. We start with the Patriots today. We'll talk to a Patriots player somewhere around noon. We got Burt Breer coming up at 11. So don't go anywhere. Don't forget that Bruins giveaway, giving away another hat, coming up at 10:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coming up at 10:50. Giving away another Bruins limited edition hat and qualifying you to win the limited edition Bruins jersey. Got a gift card to give away at 12:50 to the Diamond Guild.
Big day.
And tis the season of giving around here, so we're giving away a big one next week. Big.
Are we allowed to start pumping this?
We are. I was just given permission to mention it. We're giving away a PS5 on the show next week.
Suck on that one.
So stay tuned for the details on that coming up next week here on Zolak and Bertrand. You don't want to miss that.
Plus,
PS5, those are not easy to come by right now.
They aren't. Kidding. Trust me.
Artie's like, where can I get one?
Yeah, where can I get one? Plus, the McRib is back today.
The McRib is back today. I just tweeted you. You see that?
Who's our intern? We don't have an intern today.
We haven't had an intern in 8 months.
It's been 8 months.
Why don't we get T-Bone to go pick up McRibs for everybody?
I'm busy. Is he Jamelli now?
Yeah.
Because I do work on the show. I work here, though.
So. He's an employee. So
no, I know that.
To go get a McRib for you.
Like 20 minutes? Like just shoot right down from McDonald's right here.
So just go in the hallway. There's plenty of people around to go out for you.
All right.
Yeah.
There's nobody here.
Is that awake and approved?
No, is the building empty now? I mean, obviously, I'm home this week.
Friends of McDonald's always sent us stuff when we talked about it. Like
we're working on reduced numbers. Is the building pretty much shut down now?
There ain't nobody here. I took a picture of Winship's office to send it to him just in case he misses it.
Where's the closest McDonald's
this room?
To here, anyway?
Morrissey Boulevard.
Where?
On the other side of the highway. Ooh. Just hit the glass. On the other side of the highway.
There's
go
one
under the bridge.
There's one on Galvin Boulevard, and there's one in North Quincy.
You
right
could actually take the left after it to get back on the highway. And it goes over that little trestle, little drawbridge.
Yeah. I know where
Galvin Boulevard, the one you're talking about.
Yeah. Over near Granite Ave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on the corner of Granite Ave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, best of luck. So go right now.
We might play in 2 seconds, but you don't need me.
Right.
I'll go get.
Bill Belichick is coming up at 10:50.
That's
good. Go at 10:45.
Will they? Yeah, they'll serve it then.
You better call.
Extra onions.
You better call and make sure. Call ahead. Make sure they have an order.
Call the maitre d'.
Get DoorDash or something. They deliver here.
Google.
Oh, my God. Oh right. God. DoorDash. All that stuff delivers McDonald's now.
How do you do that? Trust it though? Isn't it going to be? I mean,
I don't want people like putting their finger in it, like licking the sauce.
The driver? You're worried about the driver sabotaging your food?
I'm just worried about it being cold. I don't want a cold McRib. I don't want my first McRib of the season to be like
the season. Is it? Hold on. Does it come
interior
back every
car
year?
Temperature?
It's been back off and on, and I don't know why it doesn't remain.
So it's not a regular thing. I don't think I've ever had one.
It's delicious.
They are delightful.
And I know people like to make fun of it. Well, you get a real barbecue. Well, when you're out and about and there's a McDonald's and you could get a barbecue McRib sandwich, it's pretty freaking good.
Right.
With some hot fries.
Sometimes it's not
fries,
easy. Sometimes it's not easy to find a barbecue place.
Yeah, thank you.
And you drive around all over Houston looking for a barbecue place.
That's Jim Lowe.
It's hard to find down there.
And the fries have to be hot.
Questions include today on Twitter from Brian. How many McRibs could Zolak eat in one sitting?
Two. I think you're pushing it after two. I could probably eat three.
Tommy said, tell Zo to DoorDash dem ribbies.
I don't know how to DoorDash. How do you DoorDash?
DoorDash dem ribbies.
I used to wear DoorDash jeans.
Alan says, I mean, I hate to say it, but the McRib is actually pretty good.
There you go.
Why do you hate to say it if it's actually pretty good?
Because I think it has a bad reputation. Like
it does have a bad reputation. Just because like Jim Murray doesn't like it. God forbid.
Glued together meat. I think that's what sort of the rep is, isn't it?
There's very little glue.
Melt in your mouth.
Very little glue.
Listen to the glue guy over here. He's gluing his cracks on his hands together.
It's
super
only got like 0.01% polyurethane. It's fine. Okay.
Here's a question. If you had a McRib and you let it sit in your car for 4 days, what's like the over and under when you could probably still eat it? Where it pretty holds together pretty good.
Oh, I'd say 14 days. Yeah. Without refrigeration. Three. With
if
refrigeration.
If I were really, really hungry, I would if I had a McRib that I put in there at like 5 o'clock on a Tuesday night, I would still get after it up until noon on Wednesday, and after that, it's all done.
I was starving so bad one day that I had Long John Silver's, the crunchy things, in the bottom of the box, and it was in the back of the car for weeks.
That's a proof.
And ate them. Delicious.
Yeah.
Hush puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Hush puppies last forever.
Yeah, that's just corn. That's just fried cornmeal.
Yeah. All right, Beetle.
617-779-0985 on the Patriots. At 9-7, would you be thrilled? Would you be happy? Would you find that that would be a satisfactory result for the season? And if they do go 9-7, that would, in my mind, be a good spot. Like, I'd be happy with it. Zoe, you said you'd be happy with it. But Hardy asked the question of, at what point are you not happy?
8-8. 8-8 for me, because I'll tell you why.
That's one game is a big swing for you.
8-8 would get me pissed off, because the way they've played at times, they are less than a 500 team. And there wasn't many times where they play like they're above 500 team, but they're good enough to be above 500. That 8-8, 500 would piss me off, because that would take you back to that freaking Denver game, or fumbling at Buffalo, or throwing this pick here, or you get popped by that team. Yes, San Francisco, you never showed up. You'd start going back to second guess every single little game and every little turnover. Because it's not like you got your ass kicked in any of them but San Francisco. They're all one possession losses. Or you've got the ball at the end of the game to win, and you failed. 8-8 would piss you off, because you should have been 9-7 or 10-6. See, 9-7 gets you.
8-8.
Really?
Yeah, it's 7-9 down.
You wouldn't go back.
Losing record. 500 or better, I'm happy. You got a losing record. This was ugly. Because I thought they could be a 10-win team. I did. I said that at the very beginning. I think this team could be a 10-win team. 10-6. And if you go 8-8, it's like, all right, well, some things, you had some close losses along the way at the end. You were in it till the end. You competed in a number
of different ways to look at it,
too. You did have good wins. You did beat the Ravens. You did beat the Cardinals. You have good wins on your resume. You nearly beat the Seattle Seahawks. You could say, all right, disappointing, but not upsetting.
So
you have a losing record. Like, what is this? You shouldn't have a losing record.
Well, hang on. Like the 8-8 thing. Like there's also lines of demarcation. If you're going to be happy with 8-8, you could say, okay, we could go all the way back to week 7 when they were in 2-5. Because if you were in 2-5, that means, holy crap, to get to 8-8, you went 6-3 that last half of the year. And you figured some things out and you got better as the year went on. Like, that's a way you could look at it. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you go back before, you know, those losses. And you go back towards the first month of the year when you screwed some stuff up. And maybe that 8-8 would piss you off. See, I think there's a good 8-8 if you have a line of demarcation. You go back to where they're 2-5. 2-5 was like the worst they could have been. That's the worst they've been. 2-5. So I think that's really a jumping off point, too. How well they finish after being 2-5.
Yeah, and so the other part of that is Cam Newton, right? Because we've spent so much time talking about Cam Newton. If Cam Newton wins, you know, 4 out of 5 down the stretch here and looks really good doing it, which again, which would be
what's that mean? Just given don't
the,
turn
given
it
the
over.
Way that he just given the way that
complete
he just
10
Sunday,
passes.
You know, I don't know how much better he's going to get between now and the end of the season.
Well, it can't get any worse than last week.
Play it out. Let's just say they win. They just keep winning.
Yeah.
Right. And he's a winner, and he's got that winning thing all of a sudden, which has been sort of questioned and doubted at times. You know, is he a winner? Does he know how to win? If he's all of a sudden winning and he's winning a lot and he's not a they're not winning in spite of him. They're winning because of him.
That means he would have to bring the team back in the fourth quarter. And that means he would have stamped type drives, not this 10-point lead early in the game. We're just going to sit on it. That wouldn't be okay. Being a winner. I think we'd have to clarify that, right?
That's fine.
Because that's where you look at it and say, like Seattle. I looked at that Seattle game and why they were in that Seattle game. I said that they were in that because of Cam Newton. Cam Newton made throws. He made runs. He did everything in that Seattle game. That Seattle game got me excited about potentially what Cam Newton could have been here. Didn't it? Like, that was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
He's going to be good here. Like, he could throw it.
Yep.
And then after that.
We were wrong. Whoops.
I mean, to be fair to me, he doesn't have much. He had Edelman at full go then.
So maybe Edelman. You know what could happen? You know the effect that when a coach gets fired, like look at Dan Quinn in the Falcons, right? He gets booted, he gets fired, and Raheem Morris takes over, and now Raheem Morris is 4-2. I think he's 4-2 in six games. And the team's obviously trending in a much better direction than the crap bag team they were with Dan Quinn at the start of the year. Raheem Morris might now get that job. He might become their head coach. Is that the right move, or is that you're buying in too much on like a hot streak in one given year and you got to keep the guy around for the next year? And if that happens, does the same thing apply to a player, and in this case, a quarterback, which is the closest thing to a coach as a player?
Well, how are you winning those games? Like down in Atlanta, is your big money players winning them? You know, the guys you're paying on defense or Matt Ryan and company and whoever he's throwing the ball to that are making the big money. And if that's the case, look
matter?
At it and say,
they weren't winning before. They changed
talent.
Coaches. Now they're winning.
That's another good point. Right.
Like, I don't know that it even matters how they're doing it there. The coach is going to get the credit either way. And so he could get that job. Is he the best guy for the job? I don't know. I don't know if he's the best guy for the job. His time in Tampa Bay, I don't think, went all that well the first time around. So I don't know, man. I just look at it and say there's a possibility that Cam Newton could win himself a job here next year, too, if they do that, which I don't know is the best thing. 617-779-0985. Where's the line for you? Losing record, I'm not happy. If they go 8-8 or better, I'll be satisfied. I'll be pleased, I guess, with the season for the Patriots. I know that's a low bar for this team, but I also wonder, what does it say about Bill Belichick, Bill the coach versus Bill the GM? And speaking of that, is draft picks. I got an email today on N'Keal Harry. One of many emails we've received this week on N'Keal Harry. We'll read it to you. Email of the day next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hang on, mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better.
This is a classic right here, guys. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much
don't like it.
Are you serious?
I was just going to yell Jim for playing this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great song. This is one of my favorite Christmas songs. Donny Hathaway.
Bugs me.
It's okay.
It means all nothing right. to me.
This is why they have so many Christmas songs, because like, you don't have to like everyone.
All right, well,
will it be?
Moving on.
Will it really be?
Don't Does it sound like Christmas?
Does
it feel like Christmas?
A little that right there. A little here's sleigh bell, sleigh bell, sleigh bell, sleigh bell. It's okay, Beatle.
No, it's great. It's fine. We just have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
Let's get to this email that, by the way, is like the 6th, 7th, 8th email I've received just on N'Keal Harry in the last couple of days.
I've got him too, boy.
Oh. Just people are out for N'Keal Harry this week. I've noticed that.
Email of the day.
This doesn't come from James in Warwick?
This is not James in Warwick. This is from Kyle in Bridgewater, who, of all the N'Keal Harry hate emails, has sent the most well-researched N'Keal Harry email. Subject, N'Keal Harry blows.
So this would be under the category of informed viciousness.
So
yes.
So I mean, not like this is
favorite,
like
it's my favorite kind.
It's not like this guy's done a ton of digging, because there aren't that many stats out there to dig at.
Well, he
plus he compiled.
I think he compiled everything you could basically compile to prove it.
Okay, what do you got?
Hi guys.
Hi.
N'Keal Harry absolutely sucks and blows. Having played in only 16 career games, it is abundantly clear that he is garbage. Here are the stats for you. 16 career games, 49 targets, 36 receptions, 318 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Terrible. Pro Football Focus grade.
Boo!
Below 18 wide receivers in his draft class.
Oh, God.
More on that in a moment. Pro Football Focus grade of 110 out of 124 qualified receivers in the league. Current wide receivers with more yards than Harry in his draft class, 15. He's so bad that even 3 running backs have more receiving yards than him. Players drafted behind Harry include, we've done some of these before, but here's a full list. Debo Samuel, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Andy Isabella, Mecole Hardman, Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin, Hunter Renfro, Scott Miller, Olabisi Johnson, Calvin Harmon, Travis Fulgham, and Darius Slayton. Let's also not forget the fact that Irv Smith Jr., and by the way, so this is not a second guess, because you and I, and I think a lot of people in New England talked about Irv Smith Jr.
Yep, Alabama.
Prior to him being drafted. He says, let's also not forget the fact that Irv Smith Jr., a potential Pro Bowl tight end, was taken 18 picks after N'Keal Harry. He says, N'Keal Harry is so bad, in fact,
how bad
that
is he?
3 running backs have more receiving yards than him. Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, and Devin Singletary, who stinks, sucks, and blows like Sony Michelle.
This is like a 2-6 email.
He says, Bill can't draft, Harry can't play. Signed, Kyle in Bridgewater. And he wrote that, signed, Kyle in Bridgewater. P.S., love the show. And he also sent it to me and Jim Murray and said, Murray needs his own show. And, here's the list of 18 guys from the draft class that are ahead of Harry on Pro Football Focus. 18 guys. We always sort of go for the obvious ones. You know, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin's having a great year. So,
I'd just take Hardman. Mecole Hardman.
Look at who's number 4. And I know that he's done very well in the Pro Football Focus grades this year. Look who's number 4 on the list. We have it on our simulcast right now of the 21 guys. Jacoby Myers is 4th on the list.
Wow.
N'Keal Harry is 19th. So it's McLaurin, Brown, Metcalf, Myers, Sanders.
So Scotty Miller is the one that's down in Tampa then, right? Scott Miller?
Scotty Miller from Tampa? Yeah, he's on the list.
Oh, well, they said Brady, N'Keal Harry's slow starts because Brady wasn't here to work with him.
Oh, no, Scotty Miller's 13th on the list.
Yeah, well, he's working with Brady down there, even with all the other talent that Tom has.
And I don't think Scotty Miller's all that good.
I think Scotty Miller's pretty good as a 3.
You think so?
I'd take him as a three here, sure.
Yeah, he's no doubt. I'd take any of these guys.
He's like a Cole Beasley. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to develop into a Welker or Edelman. I mean, I don't think he's going to be that.
I'd agree with you on that. I'd say he's more of the type of guys Indy has had over the years with Peyton, as a three or a four.
But it is a long
Austin Collie,
list. It is a long list. There are 18 guys in his draft class alone that are having, according to Pro Football Focus, and I think that's subjective. I know a lot of people really like their stats.
This has to bug.
I'm not in love with them, but yeah. Pro Football Focus has 18 guys ahead of him on their list in terms of guys from his draft class and the year that they're having. He's in year two, and he's 19th in the receiving class despite being the second receiver drafted. That's not good.
There's only one problem with that email, though.
What is it?
I mean, you didn't have to add Pro Bowler Irv Smith because he wasn't a Pro Bowler. You didn't have to, like, embellish the Irv Smith to make it sound worse, right?
Potential Pro Bowler.
All right.
That's what he said. He said potential Pro Bowler.
He's got 15 catches this year.
I don't have a problem doing it.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. Would you take Irv Smith right now, Jim, over...
Yeah, that's why I said you didn't need to add the Pro Bowl part. You didn't need to add it. It's like trying to embellish, trying to make it look worse than it is. You don't need to do that with this.
That's emphasizing
your
point.
Just throw the numbers down, facts. That's it.
This has got to kill him. And I know he's referred to it like, yeah, I'm aware of everybody. I'm really happy for those guys, and I'm not a stat guy. I just want to be here to win, help the team, blah, blah, blah. You can only say that so many times, too, because numbers don't lie.
Can I say something? Who's not a stat guy? Who doesn't, want good stats?
I'll crush him if he doesn't play well in the game, and I've done that. But I'm not going to sit here during a week and statistically pile up on him. He doesn't need to hear it. It's a little embarrassing, is what it is. But damn it, during the game, if he can't play it, I'm going to crush him here. Like, it's almost like I don't need to crush him during a week because I know what he is. You know, when I was done? I was done on the handoff when he had a sweep running left to right, and he ran right into the back of Damir Bird that was trying to block for him. He freaking ran right into his back. That tells me you don't understand spacing. How did he function in college?
Maybe that's on film,
where people saw him.
Maybe that's on Bird. Maybe he needs to run faster.
Maybe what? Bird needs to get out of his way.
Yeah.
I need to go back and relook at that tape. How did he put up stats at Arizona State?
Because he was big and he could, play against
bad competition, just
bad
throw it up to him.
It's not
like you're playing UCLA, USC, Washington State. Oregon State? I'm Oregon? It's not like you're playing sisters of the poor.
There are plenty of corners in the Pac-12 that probably couldn't match up that well on Nikhil Harry because he's big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly, Tom and Westwood on Nikhil Harry. You got something on him, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
First of all, love both of you guys. First time I called you, but listen to you, and you guys just have a great show. So.
Thank you.
One thing, I've been listening the last couple of days to you guys and also Felger and Mass, and absolutely.
It's the third time this happened. Now.
Why are our phones hanging up on
They're
people?
Just dropping.
Sorry about that, Tom. Call back. We have phone issues again.
All right, call us back, Tom. Yeah, he's definitely not there.
Dennis Newsom's never going to be able to leave the building.
We got a new call screener thing this week. I don't know if that's part of it.
It's all effed up.
Call started off so well, too. He was
Felger and Mass couldn't pull up calls.
Energy.
Courteous and responded to courtesy. He was about the embarrassing truth about Migs.
All right. Coming back on the other side.
Ham-handed segue.
We've got another limited edition Bruins hat to give away, which will also qualify you to win the jersey. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometime together,
Zolak and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
$10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a limited edition Bruins hat and automatically be entered into the running to win the brand-new Adidas Reverse Retro Add-A-Zero Authentic Jersey. It's all courtesy of the Boston Pro Shop. Shop Reverse Retro jerseys and special edition merchandise like hats, knits, tees, and more online now at bostonproshop.com. Caller 10 right now, though, you'll get the hat and be entered for the jersey. 617-931-0985 is that number for you to call. We've got great things to give away this season. Right now, Bill Belichick is powered by the Oakers Company. Is your school using a hybrid model? TouchView Interactive has a new collection of interactive software options for their panels to enhance engagement and participation in and outside of the classroom. Learn more about it at touchview.com. Here is Bill Belichick, again, powered by Oakers.
Okay, well, this is another really, really good football team. The Chargers are very impressive. Starting defensively, Bosa's, one of the most disruptive players in the league, as good as anybody we play against, run or pass. He's got a, great motor, very strong hands, good instincts. He just makes a lot of disruptive plays. Most of the time it's him making the play, but a lot of times it's him, screwing the play up and forcing the ball to somebody else. So, he's definitely a guy to stop. He plays the, a very sound, the Seattle scheme, plays very soundly. They don't give up many big plays. They play with great effort. They're tough. They make you earn every yard, and they play very, very competitively here throughout the season. Really, even though I've lost a couple of guys, lost James, lost Ingram along the way, but this is really a well-coached defense, led by Bosa, but, with several other good players, in there as well. They play good team defense. Offensively, quarterback's been outstanding. He's thrown the ball well, made a lot of good decisions. We've got great skill players. Allen, obviously, leading receiver. He's got a lot of targets, a lot of production. I said this would be a week that we're really going to have to, have a great week of preparation to, be ready to go out there. But looking forward to the challenge and the opportunity. So we'll just push it along here one day at a time and, try to get ahead today.
Wanted to get you to expand a little bit upon Joey Bosa and what do you see from him in regards to an historical context? Does it remind you of any players coming off of that Buffalo game? It was pretty impressive to see what he did on tape.
Yeah, I'll say it's a one man wrecking crew. He, I think he does everything well. Really, it's he made. If you just look at the Buffalo game, he made plays against the run. He made plays on short yardage. He rushed the passer in passing situations. He sacked the quarterback on play action situations where he, converted a, run read into a play action rush. So he's very instinctive. He's, he's got a tremendous motor. He plays hard. So he never gives up on a play. He makes a lot of plays on effort and hustle, but he's got strong hands. He can control blockers and he's instinctive. He can find the ball and, recognize things quickly. But I'd say, it's a combination of his quickness, his explosiveness, and his instincts.
When I ask you the questions too, in regards to acquiring personnel, when you're looking at players, do you look just based upon what you think their skill set is, or do you try to bring them into what your, philosophy is, in regards to whether it's playing the game or the type of individual that you're looking for and want to have in the locker room?
Yeah, it's really a combination of all those things. It's like putting a puzzle together. It's a lot of pieces. There are a lot of components. They're all different. Each player has his own unique skill set and everything that comes with it, personality and so forth. So I think you just try to, put all that together, evaluate it, and put some type of you know, grade or value on it. And again, each guy is different. Each guy has his own, you know, he brings his own, you know, total package to the team, and you know, how we use it or how another team would use it, you know, is specific to that team. So we just try to evaluate how we feel like he would fit in for us. And we try to have enough flexibility and versatility in our scheme so that if, you know, we have a good player that we don't block him out by our system. You know, he can't do this, so he can't play in our system. Hopefully our system can adapt and accommodate players that have good skill sets, even though they might be a little unique, but you know, they have good skill sets, and so we find a way to use them.
Last question, Mike Reese.
Hey, Bill, you like those old school Charger powder blues?
Is that what we're getting this week?
I don't know. I haven't got to the scouting report. I was curious about Miles Bryant. Showed up a little bit last week in the game, and he got the promotion early in the season, even though he wasn't really active for some games. Just what did you see from him from when you first got him, you know, to get to the point where now he's, you know, he was active this last game and looked like he did some good things for you?
Yeah, he did, Mike. You know, we've been pretty fortunate this year in the secondary from a health standpoint, and, you know, we have good depth back there, but as I said, we've been pretty healthy. But, you know, he had a good training camp, and, you know, we had him on the roster. We just haven't had a lot of opportunity to, you know, to play him. The guys in front of him played, you know, well in their opportunities. So, but he's learned a lot. He's very attentive, and, you know, is asked a lot of good questions, and, you know, with Devin and Jason, John Jones and guys like that. I mean, he's always trying to, you know, absorb little coaching points and tips and that type of thing. And then he has a good aptitude to, you know, apply him in the right situation and communicate well on the field in practice. And as you said, in his, you know, opportunities in the game, they've been limited, but, you know, it's just carried over positively from the same thing he did in practice. So, you know, I think he's has some versatility. We'll see, you know, how it goes with him. But, you know, so far he's done a lot of, you know, a lot of good things. I mean, he hasn't really been, you know, out there in a spotlight, you know, under intensive fire. But it's been more, you know, situational roles and things like that. But, you know, he's done a good job with those.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks, everyone. And I will do this again tomorrow, and I promise to keep it much shorter tomorrow. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, that is Bill Belichick in his press conference ahead of a game this weekend with the, I'd like to say, San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles. That's who they've got on the schedule this weekend. We've got Bert Breer standing by. He's going to join us coming up right after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.